My purpose here is to discuss a few things that are relevant to the general teaching of the end times. Everybody with me on that? Discuss a couple of things that are generally relevant to the teaching on the end times. Now, if you'll turn to Daniel chapter 9, I want you to look at the context of what these 77s are about. And we're going to take this slow. These 77s, while the whole world, whether Jew or Gentile, you can glean understanding from these 77s. These 77s were aimed specifically at the Jews and Jerusalem. And let's prove the point. I think that you'll come away probably understanding it better than most of the people who claim to be scholars today who are teaching the nonsense they're teaching about this. All we have to do is look at the scripture. Now, Jesus is returning literally. And that's exactly what the scriptures tell us. In Acts chapter 1, when the angels were there, when those men of Galilee, those apostles, were gathered to see Jesus taken up, those he had appointed, they said, "Why are you staring up there? He's going to return in the same way that you've seen him leave." It tells us in Matthew 24 that he will be coming with the clouds, same way he left. It's literal. And anybody who says different is denying Christ. It's a fact. The Spirit of Christ has already come, and he's in us, which is a separate promise he gave us in John 16. So, yeah, every eye will see him. Exactly. All right. We're going to start here where Gabriel starts telling Daniel about the 77s. Now, actually, I would like to do a little preamble here, a little precursory work in Daniel 9. Jeremiah realized something. Daniel realized something by reading the book of Jeremiah. Now, remember, Jeremiah had warned Judea. He had warned the Jews that they would be going into captivity for 70 years. And that God wouldn't change his mind. It was going to be 70 years. Right? Everybody with me on that? Daniel, as a young man, as a child, was taken into that captivity. Daniel grew up in the king's household, along with his three compatriots, which were later named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They all grew up in the king's house. Now, so Daniel, while being familiar as he grew along, as he grew with the scriptures, he says this: in the first year of Darius, this is Daniel chapter 9, in the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to the prophet Jeremiah, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So, I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition and fasting and sackcloth and ashes, and I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenants with love, with all who love him and obey his commandments, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and we have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. He starts to repent because he realizes, he starts to repent, not for himself, but for the Jews. Because he realizes that the time, from reading Jeremiah, that the time is up. How many are with me on this? He realizes that the 70 years is coming to an end. It's time now to start praying about this and reaching out to God. He says, let me read you a couple of excerpts of what he said. Like in verse 15, "Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people up out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned and we have done wrong, O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, Turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servants. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Where is that? That's the temple, right, in Jerusalem. Look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city, Jerusalem, that bears your name. See, all of this is aimed at it's time now to come back. And this is, you can see the purpose in Daniel's prayer, right? So, he goes on to say, in verse 20, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill. His holy hill is what? Mount Moriah, where the temple is built. While I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in an earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. And he instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I've now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I've come to tell you. For you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the message and understand the vision. 70 sevens are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, what are these 70 sevens concern? He just told you. I want you to see now how many of these people and these so-called teachers have taken this out of its context. First of all, what is the context Daniel's praying in? I'm praying for Jerusalem, your holy hill, and the temple, and your people, the people of Jerusalem, my people. That's what Daniel says, huh? Now, is this true or not true? Is that not where Daniel's prayer is focused? He's not praying for the world. He's not praying for specifically the end times. He's not praying for you. He's praying for very specific things. His people, the Jews, their city, Jerusalem, their temple, God's sanctuary. Now, notice that this is an answer to that very specific prayer. That's what Gabriel says. While I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in early vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice, and he instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I've now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I've come to tell you. So what is that answer going to concern? What Daniel prayed, right? And then Gabriel is very specific as to that point. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city. Your people, who's Daniel's people? The Jews. And your holy city. What city is that? Jerusalem. 77s. So these 77s are not about the world. They are specifically about Jerusalem. And we see that it's both for in that time and the future. Is everybody with me? And that's what we're going to see. But is everybody with me on that point? What the purpose of Daniel's prayer was, very specific, and his answer was just as specific. Now, is there any way is that you can take these 77s and apply them to anything else? Is there? Come on, guys, help me. Of course not. There's not. All right. Now, the reason 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression for who? The world? Or God's people, the Jews. These 77s are not to accomplish for the world, but for the Jews. To put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness. For who? For the Jews. To atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy. For who? The Jews. For Jerusalem. You see it? And to anoint the Most Holy. To anoint the Most Holy. The Most Holy of who? The Most Holy of the whole world? No. The Most Holy of the Jews. The Most Holy of Israel. Can everybody see this? This is real important. How many of you are with me on this? Now, I want you to notice that everything we read after this has to do specifically with Jerusalem and the Jews. Everything. Know and understand this. From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, which shows that this is the answer to Daniel's prayer. It's the end of that 70 years, right? From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench. Notice that this has to do specifically with where? Jerusalem, which belongs to who? The Jews. Right? It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off. Now, Jesus, when he was first sent, we know that he's for the whole world, right? No doubt. But who was he sent to first? Who was Jesus sent to first? What is the focus? What is the context of the anointed one here that will be cut off? That will come and be cut off. It's for the Jews. Exactly. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and that's the Romans, and they did that, 70 AD. The end will come like a flood. War will continue into the end, and desolations have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7, a 7-year period. And in the middle of the seven, he'll put an end to sacrifice and offering. On a wing of the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation. Where's that temple? It's in Jerusalem. Who are we talking about? The Jews in Jerusalem still, right? All the way even to the end times. Until he will set up an abomination of desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. Now, this is some very specific things. Can you already begin to tell a difference here in what you may have heard about these passages before? This is some very specific stuff. This is not. I mean, the whole world can learn something about how things are wind up because everything is focused on Jerusalem. Right? That's no biggie. That's true. We can learn a lot about Jesus' coming because everything, when he returns, where is he going to set his foot down in? Where is his foot going to land? Where is he going to rule and reign for 1,000 years when he returns? Where? Jerusalem, right? Everybody with me? Where's Mount Olivet that his foot touches down on? It's in Israel, right? So this goes for the Jews all the way to the end times. And we can glean great things about for the rest of us about timing and understanding about Jesus' second coming and all of this. But remember, the whole focus here is from the Jews in Daniel's time all the way to the time of the end when Jesus returns. That's where the focus of this chapter is. You cannot expand this for the whole world. This doesn't have anything to do with what Christians are doing or not doing. this has to do with Jerusalem and the Jews. So when he makes a covenant with many, listen to it. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1:7. In the middle of that 7, he'll cause an abomination of desolation. Well, who did he confirm? Who are the many that he did? Just many people of the world? Or many of the Jews? What's the context? You tell me. What's the context? Anybody? Is he going to confirm the covenant with many of the whole world or many of the Jews? Exactly. So this doesn't have anything to do, then, with the Antichrist making a peace treaty with the world. Yes, he is Antichrist. He will confirm a covenant with many, and then he will cause the abomination of desolation. He'll set up a wing on the wing of the temple the abomination that makes desolate, and he'll stop the daily sacrifice. Same thing, because the Jews are what we have left of Israel. Same thing. What do you mean? Go ahead, Cheryl. I can't read that. It reads weird. I know I couldn't read what you wrote there. It's not clear. Something is not clear. Oh, King James Version is unclear. Well, it's just because of the King James language. But he causes an abomination of desolation by setting something up on a wing of the temple. And that's directly like from 2 Thessalonians 2, right? Where he sets himself up in the temple and shows himself as God. And this is where he stops the daily sacrifice. And it's also in Daniel chapter 8. This is all a reference to that. So, and he'll do this until the decreed end is poured out on him. All right, but anyway, the point of this is, you can see the people he makes the covenant with is the Jews, right? It's not a peace treaty with the world. It's not even a peace treaty with the Jews. It's a covenant concerning what? What were we talking about building here? Remember what the focus of this chapter is. The focus of this chapter is the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple. The focus of the 77s is the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple. And at one point, we're told, even after that temple is rebuilt, the people of the ruler who will come, the ruler who will come is the Antichrist, the people of the ruler will desolate the sanctuary again, won't they? And the Romans did that, didn't they? All of this is about. So what is the covenant about him? If we know, if it tells you in one verse, reason it out. This isn't hard. In Daniel 9:26, it says, after the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off and will have nothing. This is about Jesus being put to death. The people of the ruler who will come, and this happened after that time, right? After Jesus was put to death. The people of the ruler who will come, which was Rome, will destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now, I want you to stop and think about it. What sanctuary are we talking about? Because at the time Daniel wrote this, the sanctuary was already destroyed. He's talking about the one that they're going to come back and rebuild. As a matter of fact, it says it will be rebuilt. Right? The whole city with streets and a trench, right? Well, he's telling you right here that same city and sanctuary will be destroyed again. He's told you right here that it's the destruction the Babylonians did. It isn't over with yet. Rome's going to come in and do it again. Now, if this whole thing was about, remember what Daniel was praying for. Let us go back to the city, God. Let us rebuild your temple, God. Let us go home, God. Let your people be one again, God. Right? And so God answers that question. Yeah, I'm going to send you home. You're going to rebuild the temple. You're going to rebuild the city. But it's going to get destroyed again. The city and the temple. And then the people over the ruler who will come will do that, which was Rome. Remember, the little horn is Rome revived. But the rule, this ruler, when he comes, he'll confirm a covenant with many. So what would the covenant have to do with, guys? If this whole chapter is about coming back to the city and rebuilding Jerusalem and the temple, and we see the temple is destroyed a second time after they rebuild it, what covenant is he making with them? Rebuilding it. And why will he take his seat and cause an abomination in it? Because it's rebuilt. Why does he wait 3.5 years? Because it takes some time to build it. See, this really isn't that difficult, is it? Now, match that up what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2. He'll take his seat in the temple and show himself as God. Right? He'll stop the daily sacrifice. Well, after the Romans destroyed the temple, how long has it been since there was a daily sacrifice? There hasn't been one, huh? You know what? There can't be one unless there's a temple. So this tells you that they have that this is all about. If this is all about rebuilding Jerusalem and the temple, then this is all about rebuilding Jerusalem and the temple all the way until the time of Jesus, isn't it? Can you see the context and the theme here? How many of you see it? And on a wing of the temple, he'll set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed on him, is poured out on him. So, this gives us some very clear things. The covenant he will confirm is about building that temple, and it is about restoring the temple sacrificial system. It is about restoring their covenant, the law. That's the covenant he confirms. Get it? It's about them going back to that sacrificial system. That's what they want to do. And so, one more thing I want you to notice. You know, if you count up 77s, it's 490 years. But this wasn't 490 years from the time that Daniel prophesied it, or even to the time that they actually come back and started to build the city. It isn't even 490 years from the time the decree was given. Remember where he says? Know and understand this, from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed ruler one comes, it will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. See, this wasn't a literal 490 years, because this is all the way back in, you know, 500 BC when all this is prophesied. Jesus wasn't even born until over 500 years later. So that's longer than 490 years. It says Messiah is cut off during these sevens. Jesus wasn't even born yet. So we're not talking about a literal 490 years, but notice how it's separated. Seven sevens, and then 62 sevens. Right? And then a final seven. See, it's three different time periods. The first time period was seven sevens, 49 years. The second time period was 62 sevens. And then the third time period will be the final seven, which is yet to come. These are three sets of sevens that happen, they occur simultaneously, but not back to back. How many of you can see that? The final seven. And let's face it, this is for Jesus. Only Jesus can restore all righteousness to them, and that's what these 77s were to accomplish. This has to happen at Jesus' coming. This happens to happen at the end. Because until all this is done, these 77s can be fulfilled. To atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness. You can't bring in everlasting righteousness if these 77s have been fulfilled. Did they bring in everlasting righteousness? Are all the Jews righteous? No, it ain't happened yet. The 144,000 are the most holy that will be anointed. And we see where they're anointed. Revelation chapter 6. That's the final thing of these 77s that will be done. And that's shortly before Jesus comes in the clouds. Right then and there. It's a good place to stop on this. But can you see what's important here? This isn't just about the world. This is about the Jews. And we can measure these 77s to bring us to this final seven that affects the whole world.